Guard. I've been a 29-year resident of the farm. I live over on Featherhill. Run a small business, does industrial test instrumentation for moisture testing and composition analyzing and friction and things like that. And before that, I worked for IBM for a while, got a master's degree, MBA at Northwestern, and an undergrad engineering degree out of Ohio State. I have one child. He lives with me half the time over there, and he's currently a freshman at Phillip Park High School. Right.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Dan? Dan Carlberg, resident member.
Brad Reese, resident member. By the way, I live up Feather Hill on Mountain View. I'm trying to remember what house you live in as we go up.
Right across from Canusa's.
Got it. Directly across the street.
Drive with
that's
the
right.
Tree
that's
the
right.
Pepper tree in the front with all the bees.
Yep. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm not.
Don't be too nice.
No, I don't. Always Michelle? No, I don't. Oh, Michelle Danher, finance director.
And Lynn, you're here just in time to go for roll call and say who you are.
Oh, it was perfect timing.
And this is John Bogart, our new member.
Hi,
nice to meet you, Lynn.
Welcome.
Thanks. Bob Kolopat, Mayor Pro Tem.
Another Feather Hill resident.
Yes.
FYI. We're well represented.
We got to talk about parking this morning.
Another day. Another day.
That's funny.
Joe McCarthy.
Bill Nelson, Mayor and Chair of the Finance Committee.
And I'm Harold Hewitt, a resident member.
And in the corner, we have monitoring us.
Steve Frank, City Manager.
Here we are. Very good. That's a call to order. Sounds like we have a quorum. Missing, I think, is Dennis Kulai, who
yes.
is in Rome or Venice yeah. or somewhere.
Europe. I don't know. He's having fun.
I'd say he's not thinking of it.
I know he's not.
You made a point to tell us he wasn't.
I know.
It means he is. Why don't we stand and pledge allegiance to the flag? Mr. Mayor, do you want to lead us?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. We have no public, so I assume there's no comment unless you'd like to play another role, each of you. Opening remarks. Discuss City of Villa Park email account. Michelle, is that yours?
Yes. I have had several correspondence with many of you that have said, I'm not checking that second email. So if you would like to be pulled off that email and just your personal email, your business email, whatever is more convenient for you, please send me a personal email. I will take you off. I'll eliminate your Villa Park one. We were just doing it for...
Let me tell you a little bit why you're doing it. Because the San Jose decision... a court decision up there that said personal email is accessible and is producible. So that means that if there is a public records request, that you would have to go through and go through your personal email accounts and produce anything that was relevant. So what we did is, the solution is, you conduct business on a business phone, a business email account, and you're private on another. So you never mix and match the two and never have to go through redacting anything or whatever. So that was the logic of setting it up. I will warn you that law did not change. If we get rid of your account, that means you would have to go through your personal email accounts and potentially redact or go through or have someone else look at them to help you redact what's appropriate and what's not for producible documents. So I just warn you that exists. And the City Council, Mayor Nelson, I think it was his idea actually to set up separate accounts, so that there would be any avoidance of any sort of problem or conflict. I'm just warning you, when you do eliminate that, you're exposing yourself.
Steve, what if you send out to both accounts?
As long as that email account is listed, it becomes producible.
You have to show you have to redact your personal account as well as they can...
If you do it all business, the easy way to do it is like the mayor has suggested, you set up a separate account, which we do, and you do all business on there. Mm-hmm. You never have to worry about your personal account.
Got it.
If you set it up and you copy both accounts, you are now including your personal account in the train of emails.
Okay. So what if we? So we're a quarterly committee. We don't have exactly pressing issues unless we have something going on like this. So therefore, looking at it weekly or daily doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes for some of us. What if we send a message and, like we said, I've sent you an email on.
Anytime you list your personal account, whether it's any touch, if you will, corrupts it, if you will. I mean, it includes, I don't mean corrupts it badly, it just means that you've included everything. So if I send you an email saying, on your personal account, saying there's a meeting tomorrow.
Now, what if I send an email that says, I haven't, there's an email for you waiting on Villa Park Org?
If, on your personal account?
From my personal account.
I then send that it. Would open up all your personal account. Everything would have to be reviewed.
By somebody that sends a one to
it doesn't
another
matter.
Personal
once it's
account.
In the chain, once it's in the chain, it's in the chain. You can't read that. You can't eliminate it from the chain, if you will.
But all they're looking at is the email account, not a server or stuff like right. that, right?
Well, what it would do is it pull it off. What they, the way they'll do it is they pull it off the server and
but just that account.
Yeah, for if it's a person if it's a business account, yeah, that's all it would be.
Got it.
So, okay. For instance, I carry a separate phone.
Your account on that. When they do that, when if there's any address that's your personal, the whole thing's accessible.
The whole thing becomes right.
Exactly.
Yes.
So let me make sure I have that clear because it's fairly terminating for me. if I send an email to Harold saying there's an email on VillaPark.org for you, I send it to his personal account, not to VillaPark.org. Or to his business account.
And you've sent it from your personal account?
From my personal account.
And you both have opened up your personal accounts?
I'm in the chain for sending a personal
yes.
email to him, to there?
Mm-hmm. If okay. The only way you get away with it is to say something like, hey, it's, the weather's great, what you know, what are you doing this weekend, or you know, something like that. But that's the only way. Once you open up the account, it's a very inclusive decision in San Jose. So that's the logic, and the mayor suggested just set it separate.
So
use a code word, Bill, like pumpernickel. Or something, then he'll know to go check.
Right, yeah. That's what it sounds like. You gotta go by code, right?
That's how you get around
it. That sounds that way.
I just want to caution you because at some point, if we get a public records request and there is anybody can ask for them, anybody, and there is no statute of limitations, then we may have to come to you or someone may have to come to you and say, please produce all your documents related to this or whatever. So I just fair warning that that's there. I don't want to do it.
Anymore. Yeah, but the specification, I think, where the justification came where is the PRA isn't like, just show me all your emails. It's
no.
Regarding the IAC. What have you
yes.
documented regarding the IAC? So you would have to produce any email that you
but,
sent
but
regarding
the
IAC.
The danger in the way the court decision right. is, they could have a lawyer
look through
interpret
sure.
for
right.
you
right.
what's appropriate, what's applicable.
Right.
All right, so that's
right.
the
scary part. Imagine the cost
ask.
On that?
Yeah.
Huh?
You imagine the cost to do that?
Oh, I know. I don't think the cost.
I mean, everybody here in this room has got at least 8,000 emails on their server.
It's the courts. So they don't think about cost.
Yeah,
yeah.
They don't.
Somebody else.
Yeah, the idea was to insulate your personal email
yeah.
from mm-hmm. this. So if you send all the information on VillaPark email, it's always on the server, and they don't even have to disturb you.
Okay, so what we do is we communicate with you. We either choose to just have our VillaPark email and actually check it, which I haven't. And otherwise, then we're warned.
Yeah. So you can. It's an individual decision.
The risk is almost nil, obviously, for this little committee, I would think. But it is a risk.
But I want to eliminate all the
you corrupted my personal because I always do with the Bill of Park one,
which is the right thing to
do. I apologize. I was asked to
bad
send it to
Michelle,
everybody.
Bad Michelle.
My bad.
Okay. Information provided.
Maybe
we can talk about that next meeting a bit. That's going to change, I think, the makeup of the committee, at least for me. That's really onerous. But pumpernickel makes a lot of sense.
So yeah. Got that off that commercial.
Number three, review and approve the July minutes, which I assume are attached to
the first one you sent
me.
Pages four,
second
three,
page
six,
back on
seven.
The back of it. It's called 7 minutes, July 19th. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Do I hear a motion to approve these minutes? Have you looked at them?
Yes, I hope so. Moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain. Carries unanimously.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Investment portfolio.
Okay, major change. You have one additional page that I believe everybody got, and that's the September one. Apologize for bringing that one out later.
For the rest of the tabs after the minutes. Right?
Yes. Usually we go through these and I kind of highlight what's going on. The major change that occurred in this first quarter is that we had one of our CDs mature, or two of our CDs mature, and what we did is we consolidated them and purchased a $200,000 CD. And as I normally do, I show you the quotes that are the inventory that we receive and kind of how we go about it. We were looking for something that matured in 2022, and something that didn't have any risk with their ratings. Ended up going with Comenity Bank, and we got a $200,000 CD with a 2.35. Obviously they're changing. We've had the we're not riding the market. We're riding out. So you can see that it's a significant increase from our past CDs that will mature in our laddering strategy. So the first quarter of our year is usually when you start to see our balances decrease. If you look at the second page on the back side of the September, you'll see that we highlight the months that are the lowest for the fiscal year. And routinely, September, October, and November are where we're low because we haven't gotten our first property tax, because that is where we get 90% of our revenue. So that first apportionment will come. The county usually they're trying to put out the tax remittances earlier, so we get it each year. It's getting a little earlier. We get a bigger chunk sooner. So that's kind of the cash flow that we're at right now. But it's routine as we're planning the big ticket items we have right now is obviously the storm drain failure that we've discussed previously. We are in the process of looking through a design. We have our third FEMA manager right now, so that's a little frustrating. Mm-hmm. But we're going through the motions with that. We have a large street project that we're actually bringing to council. Our street rehabilitation project that we do every year, that the design is coming to council this month, and our sewer project, which is the other large.
So what are the
project.
Size of those? Relatively
880,000 is what we're doing because we've consolidated and did a 2-year street project, and then the sewer project I believe is 570,000.
So 1.5 million outflow plus.
Right, and then FEMA, we're still figuring out. We had the design. For the design repair, we have to get it approved by FEMA because they will contribute like for like, and so we're trying to see which is the best option, and that will determine the cost. Because if we do an alternative route, it's going to be more expensive. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So that's the synopsis. Does anybody have any questions?
So you would expect the $5 million to go down?
I do, and I think we'll
four.
Yeah, I think that we'll have in the next. I believe November is when we're going to start design for the street, and that will be small. So most likely, the actual project will be come earlier in the calendar year.
March, April.
Yeah. So that's when the actual outflow will go, but those are the time frames usually late third quarter, fourth quarter that we actually spend the majority of our public works projects.
In the budget or
yeah.
Bill, do you have city council plans to increase the reserve?
No, we didn't increase it this year.
Okay.
We did nominally. We did to the reserve policy minimum.
Yeah, minimum.
But we didn't do above and beyond.
Okay. Right. Any questions on that? Thank you very much. Do this at the end. I had an idea, but it's not in order. So Section 115 trust update. We have two subcommittees which operate, not clear to me how they email, if that's a subject to emails as well.
An ad hoc.
Ad hoc subcommittees, are they subject to
any member? Any member of this committee that engages is involved. So it's all inclusive. The court decision was very comprehensive in a sort of blanket, if you will.
So we at the request of management, we said the investment advisory committee would help out and take a doing role, and offload so that it's upfront effort for the Section 115 would not be so heavy on Michelle and others. And we've been doing that. And we've been struggling a little bit with communications on that. So with that, I'm going to strongly recommend next time that we not, after we finish this, that we go back into an advisory role. Because otherwise we've got to figure out, we've got to use the old-fashioned phone and call up people and say it's there. Because communications is delayed if we're using emails or not checking other emails. And it's going to be a problem. So if we're an advisory committee, I don't think it's a problem. If we're a working committee trying to get things done, then I think we need to go to this phone and talk in person. Because it sounds like you don't know if the other person's checking that email. You don't know where it's going. So we'll deal with it. I'm sure it's handleable. But it does make a particular burden on a volunteer who thinks they're just volunteering versus being checking that email daily or weekly to get anything done on our schedule. We'll deal with that when we get to next steps, I think, a little bit. With that, we've had some great work done by the Ad Hoc Subcommittee A Chairman.
Thank you.
Our noted Chapman, business manager, CFO. That's what I should call for you anyway.
Chief Operating Officer.
Chief Operating Officer, okay, even better. CEO. Okay.
Bill, have you had an opportunity to bring John up to date as to what this Section 115 trust is all about?
We've only given him the investment strategy at this point, the policy statement, so and the strategy. So,
right.
And he said, didn't hear back, so I assume you did not have questions? Or did
I read it. No, I got it.
Okay. No, we have lots of questions.
Okay. Maybe we could just describe just briefly what it's all about, what we're discussing here.
Sure. I'm probably not the best one to do it briefly, but I'll try. Section 115 is a legal document that allows cities or other agencies to invest with their pension fund outside the normal state requirements,
right,
which you read about. With that, there are providers that does the systems, does the administration, plan administration, mm-hmm. and plan administrator of that. We've had comments from over about a year and a half or so, comments from various vendors, and we've done that. We got real serious more with looking at more vendors recently about setting up a trust, which means a legal document, which means a fund statement will be allocated for that in an irrevocable trust that you put those money into it, and then you can invest at your own time frame and with your own investment strategy, not be limited by what CalPERS does.
Okay.
And then even out the payment schedule later, so you end up making more money and then paying that out over a period of, say, 20 years or so. So it's very attractive. It does put the city at a different risk factor than the mandated state requirements, which limits you to 5 years and very secured kind of investments. But it's over 20, 25 years out, so you get the advantage of diversity and over time to do that. What did I miss, guys?
So well, it gives you more flexibility on the investment, so theoretically you get a better return on investment, and therefore you put less capital in up front. Right?
And we've got about $1 million unfunded on our pension, so where it means we have want to put in about $400,000 over 4 years' time, so it's putting in $100,000. Should that be the way we adopt, that's a going-in strategy. With that, we formed two subcommittees to get onto this. One subcommittee would select the vendor, preliminary vendor, which we're going to talk about today. Second subcommittee, after that was done, would work on the investment strategy and risk tolerance funding strategy that would go on with that. We'd then work with that vendor to get a contract for our city council review and approval. And probably there's something else. Oh,
yeah, we have to recommend it to city council. Why don't we choose?
And right, city council has final say on the yes
absolutely.
And no, right? We just recommend.
Right. Right.
Okay.
On everything.
And the investment policy statement would have to be added on to or done because there's a different approach for reviewing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The administrator has a funds custodian and also has an investment manager who picks out various mutual funds in the strategy that we pick, whether it be conservative to aggressive.
Right. Where did the $400,000 come from, thinking that's going to fund the $1 million?
Well, no, it's it was originally based on the actuarial report that we got from PERS on what, as of they're 2 years behind.
Yep.
So now with the discount rate, so the actual report that we just received, we're at $1 million. And we're the best case scenario that best practice is 85 to 90% funded. Mm-hmm. And so if we put over the next year, we pay into the 400,000,
right.
We can bring it down to about 85-ish percent.
Of the total original amount that is.
Exactly.
Because we've already funded a bunch of it.
Right.
Okay,
and,
got it. That's what it is.
Yeah, and so, granted that number changes every year.
Right.
Based on the actuary, but that's, we're taking that snapshot in time saying, okay, this is what we're going to do, 400,000. When we actually take it to council, hopefully we'll have, you know, more up to date, because we can get from our actuary up at PERS harder numbers, you know, okay, as of this date, this is what we're going for, and
right.
Then we'll adjust that number as see. But as of now, that was our guideline.
Okay, got it, thanks.
So the two underlying non-told stories under that, they're assumed. If you look at the actuarial assumption, what unfunded sounds like a hard number, $1 million, right? There are about 25 assumptions under that some guy, right? Some guy or gal has
been there, done that.
Yeah.
So that's number one. It's a soft number. Number two is the 85 to 90% doesn't let you be aware of when actuarial assumptions change. Mm-hmm. People leave earlier, people come in, CalPERS actually makes more money, or in this
right.
case, CalPERS makes less money. So one of the reasons to do this, too, is the rates are going to go up, clearly, because they're down to, what, 7% now?
7.325.
And they earned, I think they earned that this year. But previously, they were earning 1%, 2%.
Right.
So as those rates go up, the share that Villa Park puts in is going to go higher, which means the budget committee, which Bill and Bob are on, has to figure out where you supply the existing service you're supplying now.
Right.
So I suppose they're within our cash balances and ride that out for a little while, and eventually that goes away and they say, what do we cut out?
Right.
So the big cities that are behind right now are in trouble, because that means they have to cut out
right.
core services.
Yeah.
As it goes up. And we've got a letter, I think Steve, you gave me that letter that study that said what the future increases are going to be. So we go down from, what are we, 75% funded now?
Okay.
And it goes down to 70%, 65%.
Pretty quickly, yeah. And that's just based on the 7% assumption that they're going over for the next 5 years.
That's right.
And then, you know, talks of 6% or, you know, 6.5%. So what does that look like? And compounded is not pretty. So we need to address
it. Bob?
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
He's a serial entrepreneur, too, so he picks up very quickly. his public records application doesn't show that, but his resume does. And if you look at the last city council meeting, he described what he'd done. Because you've done multiple companies, right?
Yeah, this is the second one.
Okay. Okay, with that, we'll give you enough lead time to think about what you're
sure. Yeah. Sure. We have a recommendation where the subcommittee got to work, and yesterday we had a good meeting, and there seemed to be clarity about what we wanted to recommend to the rest of the committee today. We're recommending going with PARS. The work that we did over the last several weeks basically amounted to meeting with various representatives of the firms that are under consideration and asking them questions and listening carefully and then talking. It's not much of a horse race. There are only two competitors at the end of the day. We cannot consider anyone that does not have an internal revenue service private rule, indicating that their Section 115 trust services conform to the intent of the code. So without that validation, we can't consider other trust administrators. There are lots of them, as you probably are really aware, but only a handful of them are qualified to perform these services. That cuts it down to PARS and Keenan at the end of the day. PFM has a minimum investment threshold of $10 million, and they're not willing to drop it because they say that they can't scale their costs
right.
in a way that would be cost efficient for their client, and they don't want to get into a situation where their client is not satisfied.
Right.
So they looked at us, though, and thought about it hard and said, we really can't figure out a way to make that work.
And CalPERS, we looked at earlier. Tell them about where they are.
Well, CalPERS at this point in time does not offer pre-funding of pension liability. They offer pre-funding of health benefit liabilities.
Hmm.
but they don't offer currently a 115 approach to pension liability. So we all, several of us around this table, went to their training sessions, not all the same one, and all walked away with the understanding that they can't be considered for this purpose either. The only thing you can do with CalPERS is send them more money. And what happens when you do that is they continue to invest it as they have been. I think that you have already correctly concluded that a lot of studies are moving in the direction of these 115 trusts for the kind of discretionary control of the investment strategy that it provides. That is not so that leaves PARS and Keenan, and I think the critical issue that the committee worked with yesterday was the second page portion of the comparison in the top half of this table that shows the investment returns for 1 and 5 years based on June 30 results. These investment returns are net of investment management fees.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm going to pause and let everybody get to the
committee
page.
A.
These investment returns are net of the investment manager's fee. They are not net of the trust administration. I want to be clear that not all the fees are embedded in these returns. So you can see that they're very close, and the results are mixed. When you compare one firm to the other, some do better in the shorter term or have done better in the shorter term. But the committee looked at the comparison, particularly for the moderate portfolios, because we're operating with a bit of an assumption in bringing this recommendation to you. Subcommittee B has not yet had the opportunity to make that decision or make that recommendation.
Right.
But our expectation is that we won't be incredibly aggressive, and we're not going to be terribly conservative. We're going to be somewhere in the middle. And if you look at the five-year returns for the moderate portfolios, PARS has a slight edge in their five-year performance. This is a very long-term investment.
Then why wouldn't you go for the capital appreciation if it's a long-term investment?
That's going to be up to committee B. We weren't the ones making that decision. But I think the sense is, when you look at the behavior of most municipalities, mm-hmm. there's an enormous amount of liability on the shoulders of the city mm-hmm. for making these decisions.
Right.
So an aggressive approach has tremendous upside potential, but has all the risk associated with an aggressive
right.
approach. We went back and looked at 2008 as an example of what happens when you go aggressive in a market like that.
Right.
The negative returns were significantly in excess of the moderate portfolio returns in 2008.
Yeah, but if you carried it all the way through to today, you're sitting fine.
In some cases, you would be.
Right.
We were not able to get it. It's kind of hard to get all the comparison information you really want under these circumstances, because we don't currently have access to either of the investment advisors. So the people that we were working with were the trust plan administrator representatives,
yep.
and they tried to compile as much financial information as they would anticipate we would want, but we didn't always get directly
okay.
comparable information. Anyway, that latter decision will certainly be up to the subcommittee B, which I understand you're on. So you guys get to weigh in and decide whether they recommend going or does it. We were taking cues on the basis of what the plan representatives were telling us the majority of cities were doing in selecting this comparison.
Right.
There are two other factors. One is we had an ongoing concern on behalf of city staff. Bill Park doesn't have a lot of staff. So one thing that we wanted to be sure of is whatever plan would be selected would provide significant back-end support for city staff in terms of annual audit requirements, in terms of GASB compliance requirements, and in terms of city regulatory compliance requirements. PARS has a deep bench of cities that they are serving, significantly in excess of the three cities that Keenan currently serves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was convincing. When we talked to Dennis Yu, the PARS representative, he was very clear and very consistent about all the levels of service that the city would have if we chose this plan administrator. One of the things they do in addition to supporting staff in the course of the various compliance reporting issues that they have to deal with and auditing issues that city staff have to deal with is, again, due to the liability of this decision, we were looking to assurance from the plan administrators, the proposed plan administrators, as to the integrity of the operation that they are managing. And PARS has one additional level of external independent audit or review that they offer that Keenan does not, and that's the SOC.
Okay.
So, and that, from the same way, my perspective, and what I do for a living, that is a very significant level of assurance, and it's only PARS that does that. Mm-hmm. So when you put all these things together, the committee came to a unanimous recommendation, and that's the basis for it. Okay, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, excellent. I sat in a couple of meetings, and there were a couple of things that struck me also, which he referred to. PARS has 49 cities that they have under this policy. Keenan has three. Millbrae, two other Northern California cities I didn't recognize. So their market, why are they there? Their market was community colleges. They've got that market pretty, they've got a lot of community colleges there. But they're still trying to figure it out from the city side. So Bob met them up at, was it? Up at
the cities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're trying to get into this marketplace, but clearly they weren't quite as crisp with the answers, and they came out of San Francisco because the Riverside person couldn't come to see us that day because she was in L.A. The person here lives in Irvine, who's a senior vice president at MSU, and they're headquartered in Newport Beach. So it would seem like it's going to be pretty responsive to Michelle, although maybe it's just a phone business anyway. So
now he's always been very responsive. I mean, we've dealt with him. How many meetings have we had with him? And he's always come extremely prepared, and one phone call, and he's got information for us. So he's been very, very receptive. So
that setup, we expect quite a bit of help going through that process, and we've talked to both of them about it. What I sent around was the original PARS document from November 2015 was this one. Hopefully everyone has. You don't, I'll get you a copy. And this was the one that they updated the other day to October 9th PARS. So this is the effective document. This has a little bit of more detail about what it is. This has a more convincing set of, and in that document, in the back, is the updated performance sheets, front back page, of each of the strategies. So that's what we'll be working with in Committee B around that. Keenan did similar. They did not put in their booklet, but they handed out their performance of their six strategies. So it ended up not being a very tough waiting thing to do if you look at it. And we have the list of the cities that PARS did. We did visit Lake Forest at the mayor's suggestion, or mayor's setting up, who was also the head of Mesa Water District, right?
Yes. The chief financial officer.
Chief financial officer, and he was mayor, but that was...
Mayor of Lake Forest, and he tried to solicit Michelle's vote at the time.
Definitely get on Michelle, not for a date. But, oh, you live in Forest, don't you?
Yeah. Ah. Yeah.
So, he is the enemy, yes, Steve. But they went to the very aggressive strategy, and they were very, he was very forthcoming with it, the CPA, and very knowledgeable kind of guy. Fullerton, I believe, has also gone with PARS, and we've got a whole list of the ones if you want that to come up to. Somebody had a quizzical look on their face, but no hand. Okay. Any questions about that?
Can we get a motion maybe for a recommendation?
Yeah, and do we have a motion to make for... Okay, so with that, you have a document that Michelle has prepared in advance. That is a... says on it...
Staff
I'm
report.
Steve Franks by Michelle Daniger, October 24th, Old Business Agenda X. And in page 2, it talks about based on the table below, the strengths and weaknesses are, and that would be, I see this table right here that would go in.
Yes.
As at the October 18th, the quarterly IAC meeting, that's us, the IAC is recommending the City of Villa Park pursue a contractual agreement and plan with XXX to established a Section 115 irrevocable trust to expedite the pay down of the City of Villa Park's unfunded pension liability. We'll talk about that, but we have a little work plan how we would go forward to get the things done that we need to go back. So we would recommend this time we would introduce the name of PARS, reintroduce the name of PARS, if that was a selection at that point, if we made a motion here today to recommend. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Dan recommends. Second?
Wait, are you on the subcommittee? Are you on the subcommittee?
No, this is the subcommittee.
Would the subcommittee vice chair like to recommend?
Okay, Well, I'm just thinking that the motion coming from the subcommittee would be more.
Based on the recommendations of the subcommittee, if you want to put that. Although the subcommittee is really a working group, and we have reviewed that. Discussion. One thing occurred to me would be that we could do a little bit this week of calling a couple of client recommendations. So if the question was, have you contacted people who are using it today? We have the Lake Forest one. We really don't have others that we've talked to. So we could call, give a phone call to them to do diligence. And Michelle, I'd be willing to help you in that or do that if some other point to do it too. We'd pick out a couple of Orange County cities nearby us and find out how they've been responsive or not.
Yeah, and if you need help,
well, we can't do that with Keenan.
Pardon?
We can only do it with PARS, so.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The due diligence would be with PARS. Have you checked out their references at this point? Actually, their list of contacts. I think Stanton, and who else was the latest?
Cypress.
Cypress were the recent ones that signed up with PARS. Right. Are there comments, discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All against? Carries unanimously. So in the recommendation down below, it says, it is on page 2, it's recommended that City Council authorize management in conjunction with the IAC to pursue the investment with a Section 115 irrevocable trust with XXX and return to council with a plan to finalize the contract and adopt the final agreement. So that would be PARS.
So this, we're just basically taking the vendor that we selected to council, and then the subcommittees are going to hammer out all of the details on how to look at the investment strategy, you know, and go from there. And then we'll bring the final presentation to council and say, this is our package, what do you think? And
so they're not really, they're only giving indication we can proceed with this, that we're really not making an irrevocable decision for an irrevocable trust.
Might have to put that in there.
So since you're on the committee and need to be knowledgeable, what does PARS stand for? Wouldn't expect the majority of you to know this because we use shorthand so quickly.
It's public. Something.
Public. Very good. Public is the first one. Do I hear an A?
Administrator.
Close. Agency. Public. Agency.
Retirement services.
Right.
Okay. So it's a Section 115 trust project. We recommended PARS, which is a public agency retirement services company. Company?
Yeah. Chair, one of the things that we talked about as well is to contact both. We have two council members here, but to educate the remaining.
We're going to get to that in next steps. Okay. Are we there? We're probably there, or you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I guess we are. I just wanted to make sure.
No, you're right.
Bill, I just want to mention, I'm very pleased with this decision today. Since I brought this to the committee about 2 years ago, and I got the idea from California Special Districts Conference with Dennis as exhibitor there with PARS. So I'm particularly pleased that PARS came out to be the winner as well, because Dennis, I think, put a lot of work into this.
Agreed.
And was very responsive on short notice every time. I think
Bill brought this up to me about 3 years ago, and so he's been very persistent in championing this project.
Yeah,
really smart. When you see the investment performance sheets by year, you recognize, as we did when we went to make the water visit, they were. They were either even or down in their performance. So it's a different mindset when we go to review those strategies, because they had the market had had two bad years.
Yeah.
And they had gone taking an aggressive route. So they were bad. So we asked the CFO and Mayor of Lake Forest, either in both places, what happens when the citizens or council see that? And much as you might suspect if you think hard about it, They don't notice. You know, no citizens show up in the water district for this mundane subject. And two, we explain that over time, this will even out. So we think long term. So it's a little different. And if Dennis were here, he would say this in stronger language because he's very, very conservative, very, very hesitant this whole concept as treasurer. And the issue is you really don't look too much at the yearly results, as you brought up before. You really look at over the long time. So I think it's important to look at that. Also to look at our cash flow to make sure that those funds that are going to be paid out in the short term get in the more conservative investments so that you've got cash available. But the volatility, you know, if you take 2008, down 26%. It's all in these books, so you can take a look at that. But we'll deal with that in the subcommittee B to look at the strategies about how much pain we can think we can take and how much. So it is important to have the city council well on board and future city councils as well on board to understand the difference in these investment funds and uses of funds, and it should be easy, but it's a big jump. It was a big jump when we took a matching our short-term funds and our short-term needs and our short-term investments together instead of just putting all in LAIF and OICP, which we did for some period of time. So it doesn't all have to be 30-day funds. It can be easily available. Okay, so discuss fund results from... Okay, we're getting close. Discuss vendors, recommend a vote. Discuss action next step. Yes. One of the next steps, what we did last time is try to reach every city council member before we brought it up last time, and Steve was helpful in getting that done as well. Most of the council members at that point, two of them are here, so they were pretty well educated on it. Two of the others said, Underwood, we haven't done this yet, and the final one we met with for breakfast over at Rockwell's, and he was fine with it. In fact, even more so. Gee, we could do this and this. He had more ideas about how it could be done well. So I think that strategy, which I learned when I was consulting at United Airlines, when we went to each member of the board of directors and talked about this financial management system we were putting in, presenting to the board, was, I don't know, $6 or $8 million to do, and got applause at the end of it. We went to each board member and explained what we were doing, and then oftentimes they were forceful individuals. They had some recommendations, and we incorporated their recommendations in each of the presentation and where we were going. And it was so when we can have the time to approach each, and it's fairly easy here with two members already on the committee to approach the other three. Then our goal is for a 5-0 vote on these kind of things, and not to be involved in any divisiveness, because it's not really a divisive issue in my mind. With that, Harold's agreed to, and Lynn has agreed to, and I have agreed to, so we'll take one each of the other three members and brief them on that between today and Tuesday.
So that being the case, knowing which one that we should reach out to.
So we'd like Lynn to volunteer to take Deanna. I'll take Robbie, and you have Vince.
Okay,
you're
the matter.
And with that,
I'll get
contact.
Yeah, I'll get his information.
And
too.
I want not a script, but I want to take about 3 or 4 points, so we're giving the same information. So I'll do that by phone, Pumpernickel. Yeah, I'll do it.
Now, if your phone number is any part of the records, they'll probably check all phone calls.
I'll use my home phone number, then they'll get all the
junk calls.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
They may want to buy an air conditioner or have their room repaired or something. Okay. With that, I also made copies only for commitment. Let me see. I got 10. How many do I have? Send these 5 down that way. And send these. Oops, I'm sorry. So previously, we had done. Previously, we had done 2 work plans for the 2 subcommittees. So on page 1 was the subcommittee A, and on page 2 was the subcommittee B. What we did do last time is assign out the task. So in committee, would like to see who's interested in, so Subcommittee A, let's check off what we've done, that's always fun. So we did research, we established ourselves and we researched and met with service providers. There's a step that's not in there, it says present, management present to city council, so you could put that in as step three if you were numbering these things on the side. And then at that point, it should turn to the subcommittee B, which is the next page. And we need to make the decisions for setting the risk tolerance, setting the discount rates, choosing active or passive management, listing prohibitive investments, and give a service provider updates to the IAC. So that means once we have once after the city council approves, we would work directly with PARS to make those kind of decisions and work with them. With that, on subcommittee B, yeah, I think it's best, sometimes the whole committee, the whole subcommittee is a little work to work with, but we would set a meeting, I would set a meeting for that within a month, hopefully within a week or two, but a month max after the city council approves that. And I'll start working on that this week before the city council meets. And I'll do that. Can I do that through you, Michelle?
Yeah.
Okay, so that I'm not violating any Brown Act, whatever. Although it is a subcommittee, so you did that.
Right.
I can do that.
Yeah, you can do that one. Okay. The ad hoc committee is not subject to the Brown Act.
So I'll take a lead on that, Underwood, for working with working and setting those a meeting to do that.
Okay.
We also have, I think it's written up in another document, that we need to do procedures. We also need to do, if you turn back to page one on the subcommittee A, we need to have someone be the point on working with legal after we get the documents from PARS. So they have a series of standard documents. We want to take a look at those and consider what modifications we'd like to do as investment from an investment perspective, and then legal would like to do their review of that. So we'll come out of this one I gave to Underwood to lead up to the committee B. We'll hand that over, and then do you want to pick that up, or do you want us to pick that up? Do you want to be staff? Do you want to pick that
for
up?
for the legal documents?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can do that.
Okay. So that'd be Michelle. And then we need to draft an outline, our investment, at least an outline, if not an investment policy statement, IPS, for how we would handle that. And I think Joe mentioned, was that two meetings ago or so, had brought up the fact of maybe that should be an insider investment policy statement and a separate section. Tell me if I'm misquoting it. Or should it be a separate investment policy statement? That group, when it got together, look at that, I think could make that decision, mm-hmm. and then take a draft of that. So it means taking the investment policy statement, looking at that, and then understanding whether it would be easier to put that on an outside document or inside. We can also pick up some samples from PARS, and then I've been pretty active on the Googling this, and there are a lot of cities that have put theirs out there. So we've got copies of that I can supply if someone would take the lead on that. Joe or Lynn, are you interested in taking the lead on that?
Yeah, because I'm always good at writing things. I'll write it. Tell me what this.
Joe, you want to help her out on that?
I'll help her out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll make that Lynn and Joe. And then you can pick out your reviewers as needed. We have a lot of hands-on investment policy statement critiquing the last time, which, by the way, if you hadn't kept up with the city council, they've made it a biannual document now,
yes.
So we don't have to do an annual review anymore. I had suggested a triennial, kind of like the IRS, you haven't given something to
exactly.
The
client. Exactly, you got a year.
with that, we may want to consider involving one or two city council members in looking at that so we don't have a brouhaha in the meeting, the critiquing of the strategy in the meeting, but I'll look to Steve and Michelle for guidance on that. But it was a less than thrilling meeting while we went through the investment policy strategy in great detail that for the citizens read. It was. So we hadn't experienced that before, so we weren't quite sure if that was going to happen. If that's going to happen, it seems like to me it's always better to go to people beforehand, work in subcommittees, work it out, and staff stuff beforehand, and go in rather than lay it on when they have that level of interest in it. Show a little lack of interest, maybe a little lack of trust in our committee that they needed to redo it, but so be it. We can work with it. So that's this one, and I think that's it. I see, consider back testing results from prior years, but I don't understand why I put that in it. And decision lock risk management.
And okay. The strategy.
Huh?
And the investment strategy.
The invest.
Because there's the investment policy that's stated, but then there's the investment strategy, whether it's aggressive, moderate, capital.
Right. So I said I'd work with Committee B to get that one in.
Okay.
We'll document that
Got
as
it.
Well.
Okay.
And then there is a process that there is also a procedure or process that you may want to incorporate in your financial procedures to make sure this is organizationally sound instead of just personality sound. So you can leave that behind.
Mr. Question, now you have listed here, you know, active or passive management.
Yes.
I mean, is there a question? I mean, that we're going to be anything other than passive? I mean, we don't have the staff or anything else, and every proposal I've seen, it's always, you know, indicated passive. So, I mean, I don't know why that would even be in there.
It's one of the decisions we have to get back to PARS. So.
But right. It's really a PARS. Right?
Oh, it's a PARS. Oh, okay, it's a notification to PARS. Sorry.
Yes, you have two options.
Okay.
Yeah.
99% okay. Yes, passive.
Oh, I thought it was an option here.
Oh, no. Yeah. We're just saying these are the things we have to address part
okay.
of our strategy. All right.
Okay.
And so
local control. We're in a commingled fund. So our strategy, we have separate accounts,
yes.
But the actual investment fund, once you take active or moderately conservative, is in a multi-employer pool. Okay, that's next steps. How about the last document, which I lost here, the agenda? What's the next step on the agenda?
On this one, who's on the Subcommittee B?
Bill Underwood is the chair.
Okay.
Dan Carlberg. Dennis Kulik, the treasurer, Brad Reese, and Pro Tem.
Okay. All right.
And we have John too. He wasn't here. So where would you like to go, John?
Yeah, that was a good one. Put me where you want to put me.
Okay. Well, come on, join us unless we can bid for you.
A free agent.
Okay.
You want me on A or B? I'm on B.
Yeah, you're on B. Unless we have a money passing for that gets you on A.
Sounds like A's pretty good.
Well, writing the investment policy statement is not an easy task, but for sure. We found out from the last revision we did.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
He was saying you sound like A was done. I said the investment policy statement is a big deal, or can be a big deal. with that, I think any items that you would like for next time? Any concerns? Any things you want to share? I would like at some point to. We haven't ever let the new members being new and medium new members, share their experiences. So I think that's helpful. We're always looking for ideas. Bill Nelson supplied a lot of them, but the ideas that we didn't go over in the policy statement today, we've done a lot with having, we have medium-term funds that we have CalTrust,
mm-hmm.
putting in the CalTrust stuff. Dan's been helpful in bringing up lots of new ideas, some of which we get accepted, some of which the lawyers say we can't do. We're always looking for extra return. We're now playing, we've always said we're not playing market timing, and we're laddering so that we can ride the market up. So we should start seeing bigger returns, at least incremental returns as well. So the numbers will get a little larger in terms of returns if if you think the market's going up. What it would say from this last CD and from the thing we read that definitely rent interest rates are seeming to rise a little bit. We'll see. Other comments, suggestions? With that, it's 9:56, and we or 8:56, and we can adjourn.
You're good job.
Impressive.
Yeah, out of here. Nice.
Good job.
Thanks for your work.
That was very impressive.
That was fun to do.
Well, in fact, Harold and Dan were quite the big issue.
Got this across. Phil Roberts, he's
to school.
Yeah.
So one more of these that went around like, and didn't come back.
If you look at my house across the street,
right? Yeah, that's I was, right. You mentioned the damn tree. I remember it. Yeah. Whenever I go over his house, so
his daughter found me. I'm stuck underneath one of those big trash cans. I was hauling out like rocks, like
sure.
One of those slumstone right, things.
Yeah.
I pulled the thing and it literally fell over on top of me, and I'm laying there in the street in the middle of the summer, and his daughter and one of her friends
drove off. Did somebody turn off that machine?
It was a long time.